Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
So being a young scientist in like a really exciting new field, exciting to you anyway, you kind of feel like, all right, this deserves to be taken seriously and deserves respect, and people should be funding my experiments. But the reality of it is a lot of these, you know, top hat wearing millionaires and whatnot are like, look, if you want to sell this scientific exploration you're proposing, you need a little razzle dazzle, you know, you need something to make people excited for it. So we're going to hire this like really famous sort of like circus character. And she's going to spice up your thing so we can sell tickets. And you're not into that at all. But the day of your big balloon launch approaches, or it's there, and you're in the balloon and it's time to go. And it's like, this is time sensitive. We're like, got to go measure clouds and stuff. And she's late, your new partner. And all of a sudden she comes up and there's like a band playing and she's riding on the back of a carriage and she's got a tiny dog and people are cheering. And you're just like, motherfucker, this is so annoying. I thought this was for science. But at the same time, she looks pretty good doing it. What do you do?
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
I would love if for the rest of time, all of Colin's hot takes were from that fucking balloon movie.
Yeah, if we never stop talking about Aeronauts and Colin is still the only one who's seen it.
Yeah, fantastic. Love it.
I love that.
I think that is the best balance of things on the show when one person has either seen or not seen and the other three can comment in or comment out.
Yes.
It has to be three in, one out.
Yes. Or, two in, two is not. It doesn't work.
Yeah. It has to be three in, one out, or one in, three out.
I don't know.
I like this. That Colin has found his Final Fantasy or Mass Effect.
Yes.
Or Roswell.
And
it's the movie Aeronauts.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know about this little dog. I had no idea. Is the dog coming on the trip?
Well, so I liked it. But I'm a showman. But I don't think you guys will appreciate it. So the dog comes on the balloon for like 50 feet and then is released via parachute back down to the ground.
Wait, hold on.
Oh,
parachute?
My God. I'm sorry. Hello?
Yes. It's great. But this is a circus. This is a circus dog. It's a performer as well.
I really like that. And honestly, I might be team her because you do have to razzle dazzle people to get money.
Yeah. I mean, he's not self-funding his experiment. He needs her.
Yeah, uh-huh. He needs balloons.
And if she had warned him, would he have said yes?
Well,
no.
Interesting.
Better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Mm-hmm.
I think
the important thing to remember is she is the actual aeronaut. She's the one who is like, she's like a badass ballooner.
Yeah.
So he like needs a pilot, but she's like, okay, I need people to pay for the balloon that I'm going to fly. So that's why she does like the circusy stuff.
I think, okay, now if we're talking about this in a romantic way, I don't think it's a great move for your romantic partner to trick you.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you mean? Think I'm starting to say, and I'm anti-tricks and lies. But for business, I think it's okay for people to have their own areas. So his area is science. Mm-hmm. She's not going to question his scientific method or tell him how to do science. And he doesn't have to front load tell her all this stuff, even if it's stuff she won't like. He does promotion and money and stardom. That's her business.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't negatively affect the science part, right?
He was annoyed she was late. I think that's really all.
Being late isn't a great thing. But I think you take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you drink some of the champagne, because there's probably champagne around, right?
Oh, swimming in it.
Yeah, so drink some champagne and then go on with your day. There's no reason to make a stink.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. She might be late, which is annoying. But also, like, clouds are going to be clouds. They're still there.
Well, I don't know. We haven't done enough of these hot takes with Colin, but I have seen the trailer, and it does seem like weather getting worse is a thing that happens.
Well, I mean, I don't think they really realize. They have a general idea that weather does change, but I think the whole point is to find out, will clouds be clouds, Kelly? That's why he's going up there to begin with.
Because no one's ever been up there. No,
here's what I'm going to ask you, Colin. This is your favorite movie of all time.
Yes.
What is the science that he's doing? What is the project?
Like, do you know? He's like measuring barometers and
what's his goal?
To find out like how weather is.
Oh.
Wow.
Listen, I much more relate to the character of the circus clown who flies a balloon.
Right.
I'm like, I don't need to know all that stuff, nerd.
Yeah. Can you spoil it for us? How is weather?
Oh, man, it's up there.
Great.
I don't know. I guess it's hard. It's like, I want to know what happened before this part. So, like, what got him into weather? Did he, like, build a balloon that later shows up in the future of his life?
His father was killed by a cloud.
Sure. So you want to see the episode one of Aeronauts.
I think that's all I want. I don't know.
Guys, we're doing episode one ships today because, of course, last week, Star Wars Episode One Racer was re-released on the Nintendo Switch after originally coming out in 1999.
Yeah, why it's occurring? Unknown.
The Pod Racer video game. Was that originally N64?
Yeah, you bet.
Oh, I love that game.
No, actually, it's coming out on PS4.
And Switch.
May 12th. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember playing that game. I was very into that game on N64. Pod Racers.
Yeah, it's a cool game. And then there was like a sequel to it too that like blows out the sort of like pod racing. I think it's called Episode One Racer Revenge.
Ooh. Mm. Like NWO WCW Revenge.
Just like.
This is where I'm gonna say less is more though. I don't really need to live in the world of pod racing like that.
Mm. No, you don't need to put in hundreds of hours to unlock Episode One Sebulba.
No.
So wait, is the revenge game is that like an RPG where you're in Tatooine and you live the life of a pod racer instead of just doing the racing part?
No, but that would be rad.
That would be rad.
There are so many nooks and crannies of that universe that are more interesting than following the same family around.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Well, I guess we'll never know, but I mean, I imagine they're more interesting.
Yeah. So we're doing episode one ships, kind of open to however people want to interp.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's got a hot one?
Okay, so I have one that I am picking specifically because it is hot.
Ooh.
Hot outside right now?
What's that? No.
Sexy?
That it, that it's sexy. That
Sorry.
Yes. It's all right, okay. Kelly. Because it is hot out right now.
It is, and that's all I'm thinking about. I'm sorry.
It's very warm out.
So I am reading Queen's Shadow by E.K. Johnston, which is one of the Queen Amidala books that takes place like right after Star Wars Episode One.
Heard that one's good.
It's very good. It's about Amidala's handmaidens and how they all work together to create the illusion of like this one queen. And then when she becomes senator, like this one senator. So like they all take turns in the costume and, you know, they all know, including Padme, they all know how to do, you know, all these like different accents and voices and, you know, different like spy techniques. And it's rad. It's a cool book. But the like chief handmaiden, the one who like takes the part of Amidala in throughout like most of Star Wars Episode One, is named Sabe. And she is like the most battle hardened of them. She stayed behind on Naboo for like the longest time, so that like, and was like tortured and shit by the Trade Federation army. Mm-hmm. But of course, never gave anything up because she's like the baddest motherfucker in the world. And so through the course of this book, she is like semi-retired, but still like the best at it, right? She's the best at being Queen Amidala, right after Padme, the like actual queen.
Mm-hmm. And this is Keira Knightley, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So when they're hanging out on Coruscant, the, you know, full city planet, when Amidala is a senator, and Sabe has an apartment in the city where she is living with Tonra, who is like another Naboo soldier and like bodyguard of the queen. But they're both, like I say, kind of like semi-retired. But like Sabe still wants to stay close just in case there's anything she ever needs to do for Queen Amidala. And like that's Tonra has this like irrepressible crush on Sabe, like cannot, aww, like doesn't, aww, express it a lot, but you know, he's like this big hulking like warrior dude, but you know, Sabe's got like her life's work is helping Queen Amidala.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she gets pulled in for like one last time to like be Amidala so Padme can have a secret conversation with Jimmy Smits as they're like getting their alliances together. And Sabe's so pumped up from this night because it goes like perfectly, right? Like they get everything they want and like she's awesome at it. And she's fooling these people who have met Amidala like hundreds of times. And like, she's just kicking ass. So she comes home all pumped up from this. Tonra is like waiting in their apartment and he's like, hey, you know, it's been a couple days cause you've been embedded with them. And like, I miss you. And, you know, I want us to be together. And she's like, well, just so you know, my love for the queen comes first. And he's like, okay. And then they just start fucking making out.
Hell yeah.
And
it's the hottest shit.
Because he's still like huge and like strong and imposing, but she just has this like confidence where she's like, all right, like come over here and like throw me up on the counter and let's start fucking. And it, whoa, rules.
Hell, ooh, to the, yeah. Wow.
Is this an adult novel or is this you telling a story that you like for your, are you, is this canon? I guess is what I'm asking.
It's canon. Can I read a little bit?
Sure.
Oh my God. Yes.
Then she closed her hands on the collar of his tunic, pulled his face down close to hers, and kissed him. She meant it to be sort of a test, to see if it was really going to work, but it bloomed into something deeper almost immediately. His hands found her waist, then her back, and he pressed her against his chest and tried to pull him up closer than he already was. His mouth softened, and he pulled away for a moment to breathe and press gentler kisses against her neck. She couldn't help the noise she made when he kissed her, kissed
ooh,
the
mommy,
hollow of her throat.
Oh, yeah.
Right between the two sides of her uniform collar, and she felt as much as she heard it when he laughed.
Wow.
It's hot shit,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's hot shit.
Like that. That is hot.
Yeah. Good, nice. Good ship. Good ship, Patrick.
Do you guys... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say, thoroughly recommend Queen Shadow. It rules.
Okay.
Do you guys want to hear an equally sexy and in no way like offensively disgusting ship?
Oh, God.
I mean, I do, but I guess I'll listen to your ship.
I'm talking nice. About Jar Jar Binks and Watto.
Why?
What?
we presented both of those as unshippable in our Star Wars Unshippables.
Correct.
And here they return.
And in the time past, I've had time to think about it and consider it. And you know what? It serves a purpose. It's Qui-Gon can get this whole getting... Anakin off of Tatooine ball rolling a lot faster and a lot simpler. Just offer him a one-for-one trade. Sell Jar Jar. Sell his ass into slavery in exchange for Anakin.
Wow.
But...
holy shit.
Like, what? More specifically...
Call
like,
it!
Like a fucking... like a dirty slave. So Jar Jar takes his big, long Jar Jar tongue and sticks it into the pod racer engine laser so it gets all numb and floppy and stuff like that.
What the fuck is this?
And Guado just, like, flaps his little bat wings so he's eye level and just sticks his nasty little desert butt.
Okay, hold on. What? Colin.
Wait, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
First of all, when did you become me? Bringing in the nasty shit, this is like gross for me.
Well, and you took the part of episode one of the prequels that is the most like, well, potentially the worst part, which is that slavery exists and then no one tries to stop it, and you just sold a character into slavery to be a sex slave.
Wait,
as a shippable thing.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What is the... like, why is his tongue needing to be numb?
Oh, because
the numb tongue does it for me.
Yeah, exactly. Floppier.
But what's happening with it?
It's floppier.
But what's he going to do with it?
It's floppier.
Yeah, just fucking.
Why is floppier better?
Where's it going?
Just everywhere.
What?
Uncontrollably.
Told us it was inserted.
No. It's just slarping. It's just flopping and slarping around all over him.
And then what's Watto doing with his ass?
Sticking it on Jar Jar's floppy tongue.
This just seems like, okay, it seems like, what it seems like to me is trying to kill a fly with a shoelace.
And Guado was like, I want you to try to kill the fly with a shoelace tonight.
Yeah.
And that's like the code for it.
Yeah. This is really disgusting, dude.
I really hate this so much.
I really love hearing Ryan's like tortured.
Guys, because I love ships. Yeah. I really do.
It's worse when he takes something you love and turns
like
it into
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
The part that sticks the most for me is that Jar Jar as a character is like, you know, regularly criticized for being like a
minstrel.
Like
a black stereotype, and you just sold him into slavery.
Oh, come on, you guys know I didn't put that much thought into it.
I know you didn't, but everyone in my house who heard it, that's all they can think of.
Okay, oh, what if it's just... okay, what if...
I'm so... what?
No. Okay, let's change it to... can I tweak it? I can't believe I'm trying to help you with this, Colin.
No, please,
you
can do it,
Kelly. Why would I try and help you with this? But, fine. I mean, I should just let this thing fucking die. But, okay, what if it's... they need him to go undercover. So he's agreeing to do this as, like... he's like, I need to get whatever information or whatever. I need to keep track of Watto.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to agree to this, but really, like, I am consenting to this.
You're making Jar Jar Binks into a honeypot of sorts.
Yeah, he's a honeypot.
Okay.
And, like, let's just, like, give him a blaster or something. So he could protect himself if he needs to. So we're not worried about the safety of Jar Jar. And then, you know what he could do? He could then be like, what part's the play acting and what part's the real, like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because he does really like the shoelace game. He can't deny that.
Yeah, that's the problem. He's like, so after they do the shoelace game, how about this?
Oh, my God.
After they do the shoelace game, Jar Jar's like, I need to go be alone and, like, think about this. And Watto thinks it's because he pushed too hard. And he's like, what's happening? Like, why do I care about what Jar Jar thinks? And then Jar Jar, the reason he needs to be alone isn't because Watto pushed too hard, but because he's like, I enjoyed that. What do I do?
Oh, wow. And then Watto, like, softens his position on owning sex slaves.
And yeah. Well, I think, yeah.
And then is like, hey, tell you what if we just make this like a sex slave, like, play thing?
Yeah. And then he says, I may own your body, but you own my heart.
Oh, ooh. Still gross.
No, what?
Still super gross. But Kelly, I love it. Thank you. I set him up and you knock him down.
Listen, we're a team when it comes to just really disgusting, just vile.
Well, ships. You know what? I appreciate that you saw I was swimming in some pretty deep waters on that one. And you were like, you know what? I know how to navigate those turbulent seas of disgusting mm-hmm. ships.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've been there. I know it. I can be your compass. It's fine. Okay, does anyone else have something like maybe not that?
Ooh, I'd love to talk about something not that.
Okay, great.
Well, okay, so I'll be honest. My original episode one ship was going to be Amidala and Sabe, but we have to move on because I have a new OTP.
Okay.
So I decided to interpret episode one a little differently. I am going with episode one of a show.
Mm.
Oh.
And it's the show Murder, She Wrote, The Death of Sherlock Holmes. It is the most... It's a crazy premise pilot because it has to establish Jessica Fletcher's good at solving crimes. Okay, has to show that she's good at solving crimes. She's mourning her husband. She writes a book. The book gets sold without her knowledge. It becomes a bestseller. She then is at a place where a real murder happens. She solves the murder, but also realizes that New York City is scary. All of that has to happen in like 90 minutes. It's pretty wild. Like, we don't start with her as a best-selling author.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We start with her as like a woman who works for the Junior League, and then her nephew, fucking Grady, he sells her book without telling her to a publisher, and then it goes, you know, becomes very popular. It's a whole thing. So, but she meets the head of the publishing company, Preston Giles, and he is handsome and very, like, suave, and has a big house out in the country that he invites her to. And then this part is a little weird. So he invites her to this party at his big mansion in the like, it's like Hamptons, but more woodish. So I don't know what that is outside New York. I don't know. Woodlands. And everybody's there, and a ton of guests are there because, you know, someone has to get murdered, so you need lots of suspects. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't tell her that he's hosting a costume ball that night. Which is a little weird. I get, like, don't you think if you're inviting someone to the weekend at your house and one of the events, the first event is a costume party, you got to tell them it's a costume party.
Yeah, and then you have to give them the option to opt out of the whole weekend after that.
Yes, that should be part of your invitation. Be like, there's a costume party, you know, if that's not really I totally understand. But no, he waits till she's on the grounds at the tennis court and then tells her there's a costume party. And she's like, and he says, oh, I should have told you. And, you know, it's not even just a costume party. Everyone has to dress up like their favorite fictional character.
I'm sorry.
So
it's not just a costume.
Themed costume party.
Yes. But, hey, guess what? Jessica's kind of feeling him and feeling flirty. And she says to him, well, I could always come as Lady Godiva.
Wink. Love it.
Yeah, it's pretty bold. She's pretty great.
Wait, I'm really hung up on this. I'm sorry. When does she find out it's a costume party?
She's at the house.
So she can't come as Lady Godiva. She cannot come as Lady Godiva because she didn't bring her Lady Godiva costume.
No, Lady Godiva's naked.
So she did.
She's wearing it under. You're telling me she's wearing it underneath her clothes?
She would just take off her clothes.
I can't tell where the bit ends and where the bit begins.
I truly don't.
I don't know who Lady Godiva is.
Okay, she rode a horse nude, completely nude.
That's her thing. So if you wanted to dress like Lady Godiva, you would wear no clothes. So that is her flirting, also making a joke of like, I could be Lady Godiva. I could come in the buff.
Like if she said birthday suit.
Okay, yeah,
like
so that literary. Is, gotcha. That is a good.
So she could do that, yeah.
A yes. good little snap. Okay.
So no, she's not being strange. She's being like fairly normal. So then she goes to the party, but somehow somebody has like a Gilda the Good Witch costume that she wears, which I don't think that that is Jessica Fletcher's favorite fictional character. That's silly. But he dresses like Edmond Dantès. He dresses like the lead in The Count of Monte Cristo.
Oh my.
Yes. Which is interesting because then later we find out he's the murderer. But up until the moment that Jessica, of course, catches him as the murderer and he's like, I'm sorry, I have to kill you. There's some real like romantic tension and I kind of like her with this publishing magnate, but it doesn't work out because he's a murderer. And then when he gets caught, he's like, I gotta kill you, which is never, that's kind of the end of a relationship for me.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was when he pulled this costume bullshit, but yeah.
You're right. The costume thing was, but she liked it and she was like rolling with it.
I guess she played it right because it is a power move. It's like, hey, let me see if I can get this woman like off balance.
Yes. Yes. So she didn't let herself get off balance for a second.
Because she, mm-hmm. right back. Yep. Boom. Love that.
Yeah. So I guess if I have an episode one ship that I have to come up with during an episode because my actual ship gets supplanted by a much better ship, I'm going with Jessica and Preston Giles.
Hell yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, while my Sabe ship is hot, I think that like her love for Padme is deeper.
I think it's more OTP for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and I was going to go with, and I haven't watched all of Clone War. I haven't watched all the cartoon Star Wars universe stuff,
yeah.
Even though I know I have time, but I should, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was reading about Sabe and like thinking about it. And I love the idea because no one knows why and how Amidala dies.
Yes.
Because it's part of the secret of the twins and, you know, Anakin becoming Vader and all of that stuff. It's like very under wraps. So to me, the ship, almost like what I really am into or is the angst of when Amidala is dead and Sabe doesn't know why and is trying to figure it out. And she's like, did Vader kill her? And she even confronts Vader, not realizing that like that's the man that she was at the wedding for him and Amidala. Like she doesn't know. So that to me is like really angsty and good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's really cool. So I interpreted it very similarly to how you did, Ryan.
Yay.
Episode one. So I'm doing people that I shipped from episode one. Like as soon as I saw it, I was like, okay, we're gonna ship this hard. And this is a show that's pretty, I believe, hard to get a hold of right now.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a bummer that we can't watch it right now.
Hmm.
But it is Fran and Mr. Sheffield from The Nanny.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, like, the second that you see those two people together, I think it's partially that they have chemistry.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I also really love the trope of one person's very buttoned up.
Yep.
And one person is like, I am going to take everything that you are comfortable with and I'm going to throw it upside down and you're going to hate me for it. But at the same time, like,
oh, he's so charmed by it.
Yes. You are going to be like, how could this person be so charming? I mean, Fran Fine, I mean, already fantastic character. We all love her. Cannot help but to stan. I love also that Mr. Sheffield is like, I am unavailable. I like that. I like that he's very unavailable. And I also like that he, both of them are kind of like the way that we see them both dealing with their burgeoning feelings for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like her being, you know, messier and messier, and then him kind of like dealing with.
Is he still engaged in the pilot to that blonde lady?
I think he is. Unfortunately, I've not been able to find the pilot, so this is all from memory.
Okay.
I'm going to try and see, pilot of The Nanny, because
that because she is a former fiance, right? The blonde woman who's like around to be mean.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. I'm going to look at The Nanny episode, self-titled pilot. Okay. Right. Fran is jilted by Danny, her husband-to-be and boss. She comes across Mr. Sheffield. He needs a nanny. She goes in.
Does that theme song have music? Because I'm picturing now, because it's the cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it have words?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, and then she became the nanny. Like, yes, that kind of singing. You. Yeah. It's like all the expository material is in the theme song. Let me see here. I'm not sure if he still has that fiance.
He's a widower, right?
Yes.
Yes. This is another reason why he's very unavailable.
I think this is exactly the same plot like Bensonhurst for a convent, but I think it's the plot of Sound of Music.
It is very similar to Sound. It is the exact same plot where she's like connecting with the kids and he's like, my God.
Yes. I mean, no Nazis. So no they Nazis. Have that going for them. It's funny because I feel like The Beautician and the Beast is also the same plot.
Yes.
But I like it.
I like it. I mean, here's the thing. We love that type of plot and we can't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. So I just like, I really, really like that ship. If someone knows of a place that you can watch it, tell me, because like I've been missing that show and I don't think it's streaming anywhere.
It looks like at least the pilot is on YouTube right now for free.
Okay. I think you can rent it on Amazon for sure. I mean, you can rent everything on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Okay. According to the internet, the Roku channel has it.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know if you have access to the Roku channel.
Yeah.
What's the Roku channel? I thought Roku was like a device.
It is a device, but I believe they also have a channel. And I think they spent all their money on The Nanny.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good move.
So, I have a Roku, so I can watch The Nanny pilot and report back to you.
Oh, there you go. Thank you.
Let me know. I feel like that show has aged impeccably.
I feel like some of the humor is a little Borscht Belt.
Oh, my God. Like, what is Borscht Belt?
I think it's a cold Russian soup, right?
Yes, but it's also where, post-vaudeville is, like, mainly, I think, like, Jewish rooms, but it's, mm-hmm. like, where that humor, like, the post-vaudeville stand-up humor. So it's kind of broad, and it leans on stereotypes, but not, like, necessarily real, like, not biting, painful stereotypes, but just, like, moms are in your business.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
That and kind also, of like, stereotype isn't it, where like, it's like, okay, some moms are in your business.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, like stereotypes as performed from those on the inside of it as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, it's, yeah, exactly.
It's like street jokes.
Yes.
Similar to, like, that kind of comedy of street jokes.
Totally.
Where it's like,
when you're on the street telling those jokes, good for you. But if, like, I'm trying to tell, if Ryan Elizabeth Mogi tells that joke, it is weird and inappropriate.
Yeah. Or just like, I see what you're saying. But I think I really like Fran Drescher a lot.
I feel like it would be very comforting for me to watch The Nanny now.
Yes.
But if The Nanny came out now, I don't know if I'd watch all the episodes if it was a Netflix show.
Well, because then it would be Marvelous Miss Maisel.
Exactly.
Did I just say that? Did I just fucking wreck that show? Because guess what? Everybody fucking loves that show. I'll just say, reads a little like fanfic. That's all I'm going to say.
Well,
reads a ton like fanfic.
And Mary Sue, who we never established why anyone should like her. But also, things work out for her. They sure do.
I'm sorry. But the stand-up that she does, that ain't stand-up. That's just saying things. And also, second up, if we ever met fucking Marvelous Miss Maisel at a real party, can you imagine? Micah has said it. I would leave the party. If there was someone like her fucking trying to own the room and being like, oh, I'm going to like do this and that thing for that person and whatever and be this person. You would be like, this person's too much. I need to remove myself from this party.
Yeah. It's like,
well, I think we can all agree that spending time with a stand-up comedian is awful in pretty much any context.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much specifically, more. It feels like spending a time at a party with Pete Holmes 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so accurate.
Boom, that, you like, done it.
Oh.
Yep, that's it.
Here's the, yeah. I think the other thing, and but also, because I like period pieces, I wish that we would have just, like, done We by, like, me and Amy and Dance Room and Paladino. I wish that we had done, just, like, what if we just did, like, a series about Joan Rivers coming up?
Great.
And then we could get very specific, and we could get, like, real instead of, like, yeah, the, it feels like fanfic the way... And I did bail on the show, so I
bailed on the show as well.
Yeah, I did too.
But I do feel like it feels like a Mary Sue.
Well, because like here's the difference, right? Like if you do an actual biopic and you're like, damn, this person met all these people because they did. So you're just telling yeah. the story as opposed to a self-insert female OC. That
like just happens to like be able to hang with everyone.
And like the minute she met Lenny Bruce, I was like, I gotta go. I'm so sorry.
Here's my problem.
That's so Lenny early Bruce, in the series.
Yeah, that was episode
the
one,
actor
Kelly.
Who plays Lenny Bruce, guys, I like him.
I do like him.
He was in Michelle Williams cheats on Seth Rogen movie.
Mm.
That's so good.
Oh, Gatsby.
No. What is this movie? Damn it.
It's really, I feel like I might have even talked about it on this show before, but it's Michelle Williams as like kind of a sad woman. And then she has a neighbor who is played by that guy. And, she's married to Seth Rogen and they have like a happy marriage, but not necessarily like a super
take this waltz.
Yes. It's a good movie.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. I recommend it. It doesn't make you feel good about adultery.
Great.
So if you want like someone to reinforce adulterous feelings, don't watch this movie. But it's sort of that thing of like, if you're unhappy in a relationship, it's not the other guy that's going to fix it.
No, dog.
Though you may have a lot of fun with him because he's very hot.
Yeah.
He also, and I know I've recommended this show before to you guys, so I'm sorry if I sound annoying about it, but the show Slings and Arrows, which is a Canadian dramedy set in the background of a Shakespearean festival.
Mm-hmm.
He plays like a kind of like a less hunky Keanu Reeves type who is brought in to do Hamlet. Mm-hmm. And so you get to watch him like figure out how to be a real actor instead of a movie actor. And also he falls in love with Rachel McAdams, which who wouldn't?
Who
She's
wouldn't?
Great.
How could you not? I'm sorry to fans of that show. I really am.
Different okay. strokes.
Different strokes. It's fine. I don't hate you if you like it.
Yeah, the only people I hate are people who are really into Jar Jar Binks slave fanfic.
Oh, come on.
I mean, to find really into it.
Colin,
I'm like into it, but I don't know.
Colin, do we have any questions from Twitter?
Yeah, sure. Patrick, how can people send us more questions from Twitter?
All they got to do is tweet at us. We are at ShippleDips, that's Shipple like nipple and dips like nips, or you can email us at ShippleDipsShow@gmail.com.
All right, so Itchy Brain asks, what are some quarantine-related pickup lines to use on apps, dating apps, I assume?
Are you coronavirus? Because you got me short of breath. Sorry.
Oof, distasteful. I really
had that locked and loaded.
Sorry, I just thought of it. I'm sorry.
It was really good.
I'm You're sorry.
Good at pickup lines.
I don't know. Okay, that's getting a block from me.
Yeah, no, for sure. You should block. You should block me instantly. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
I mean, in reality, you got to just like not do coronavirus stuff, right?
Yeah, I think you can't do coronavirus bits.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a world where you're looking for pickup lines. Are we talking about first lines on an app, or are we talking about pickup lines? Because pickup lines are inherently cheesy, like what Kelly did.
Well,
yeah,
I think the pickup line, I think that's sort of what the pickup line is in the virtual realm, right? Like your first,
icebreaker. I think an icebreaker and a pickup line are two different things. Because you could do an icebreaker to start a conversation with a person you weren't trying to sleep with.
Mm-hmm.
But a pickup line inherently, like, theoretically, your goal, like, you don't do a pickup line to start a relationship.
No. You do it to yell at someone on the street.
Yeah, if you want to yell at someone on the street, or you're at a bar and you think someone literally that night is going to go to your house.
So a pickup line does, like, by definition, is like a bad innuendo type joke. Like, yeah, a sexy, bad joke.
A jokey type thing. It's like, are you, hey, are you my impending sense of doom? Because you're all I think about.
Wow,
Kelly, you're really good at that.
I mean, that one is fucking fire. I engage on that.
Cool.
Yeah, I think I think it's got to be hard on the apps right now.
Yeah.
Because the best thing that you can do from my POV, which is, you know, you can question its worth, but the best thing you could do on the apps is get off the apps.
Okay.
Like, you're on the app to the extent of, like, okay, this person doesn't seem like a serial killer. Let's meet in person and see if I was right.
And that versus second, like, step is just not possible.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, it's just banter, which they really like banter on Too Hot to Handle. It's very important.
Oh, God. But also, what they do is not banter.
But banter to me is so fucking, because it's not based on real chemistry.
No.
Right.
Like, it's all like, it's being witty, but you don't really know. I don't know, man. I don't know. Obviously, I've not mastered the apps in quarantine. I don't know what the way to do it when someone's a stranger.
I think there's a lot of cyber happening.
Well, do you, is there? I guess maybe then I go to voice chat quickly. Like, yeah. I just don't, how is a text conversation really going to give you any, what goals are you going to achieve by having
yeah,
text conversation over several months?
I mean, that's interesting, because I was thinking, like, yeah, so you can do, like, the sexting, yeah, or, like, set up, like, a video date and, like, get, yeah, to know them better.
Which I think is cute.
It's cute, but I think a voice conversation does sound like kind of, that seems like a happy middle ground, yeah, for me. Like, I would rather just talk on the phone with a stranger right now.
I think the confusion, or the my question mark with the apps is we don't even have an end in sight for this.
Yeah.
So there isn't, like, oh, well, we'll be able to meet, you know, in X amount of months. Like, it truly is, like, well.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we've all had, like, relationships in some capacity or another with people we've never met before, right? Like, that.
Right.
So, I mean, like, I think that there's some aspect of it, of dating ever, where it's like you're just trying to have fun nights and have a good time and, like, make connections with people. And
no,
like,
dog, I wanna have sex. That's the problem.
Well, I guess, yeah, I guess to me, then that's so, but then, and maybe it's my fault for, like, trying to limit it in my mind to apps. I don't know if apps was in the question, because apps are geolocated.
Yeah.
If we're talking about, like, what's your best pickup line in the chat room?
Okay.
Because so, then the dynamic is already, it's going to be online. But, and I think that, here's the thing. I think that some people, so I'm not trying to judge anybody who is hustling the apps right now. Some people, like, really like the part of a relationship where you text every day and you, like, send pictures, like, cute selfies to each other. Sure. And you talk about how your day was.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get, you can get all of that stuff.
It's also a good time to work on your reps in that regard, right? Just practice.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, look, sure.
Oh, God. Said, like, someone in a relationship. This shit is not fun.
Yeah, also, like,
are you going to also tell me to do 100 push-ups every day?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, I do 100 push-ups every day?
No, thank you.
And I just send sexy messages to strangers every day. So, yeah, we're in it.
It's your reps. It's your 10,000 hours.
That's my reps. Kelly's doing push-ups. I'm
You're harassing people online.
I'm harassing people online.
Calling you consider me a stranger?
Yep, I'm like, hey Patrick, you want to try to kill that fly with a shoelace tonight or what?
Hey guys,
two relationships.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.